I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Yeah, good morning to you. Welcome in. Carl Middleman having his own conversation here as we start the show this morning.
You said there was a light on you.
It's very, very bright down
there. There are no lights on you.
No big deal. Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the show. Late night for a lot of us. I don't know about you. Kim St. Ange, did you stay up until the end of that debate?
I did. Did you?
Wasn't it supposed to go 90 minutes?
Yes, and I think it ended at what, like 9:50?
Yeah, they went extra time. I don't know how that was. Maybe it was 90 minutes without breaks. I don't know.
Well, the moderators felt it was necessary to say about 10 times, "We have a lot of topics to get to, gentlemen." And whenever J.D. Vance would try to say something, "We have a lot of topics to get to. We got to keep moving."
I just have this to say. On the way in this morning, I listened to the Gordon Deal show, as I do each and every morning. And they chose to discuss who won the debate last night. Who the initial poll from CBS News says that 41% of people thought J.D. Vance won. But 40% of people thought Tim Walz won. And 17% didn't know. They were undecided. Now, I guess you could suggest that the poll on CBS was as biased as the moderators. Or you could argue that even on a platform as biased as CBS News, Vance was still the winner of that debate. Even among the people that hate J.D. Vance, and those would be mostly CBS News viewers, J.D. Vance won the debate. Even in their minds, however slightly that might have been. Here they're showing it. I was just showing it on Channel 4 again. Nobody in their right mind who watched that debate walked away from it thinking Tim Walz even came close to the mastery of facts and debate style of J.D. Vance.
CNN even was saying that J.D. Vance took punches and that it seemed like Walz was not prepared. And then it was funny because that was one commentator speaking about it. And then I heard Dana Bash, who said, you know, I actually think it was the opposite. She thinks that Tim Walz almost over-prepared, where he had these lines that he wanted to make sure he said during last night's debate. So when you heard J.D. Vance talking, instead of actually listening to what he was saying and being able to appropriately respond, he is running through the different lines he had rehearsed in his head and trying to figure out which one he can say at that moment.
Yeah, maybe right off the top, I think that was pretty obvious. He kind of hemmed and hawed and seemed hesitant and wasn't quite sure what he was going to say next, and I think he calmed down a little bit into it and turned into the politician that he is. But, you know, on substance, and given the fact that it was 3-on-1, J.D. Vance ruled that debate last night.
Remember when the CBS moderator said they weren't going to fact check? That didn't age well.
Gosh.
What a joke.
It was embarrassing. And I also noticed differences in when they would let Walz respond to something Vance said versus the other way around. They always gave Walz that opportunity, and then they would cut Vance off and try to move on to the next subject.
Not only that, but they would say something like, let's say that the J.D. Vance said something, they would turn to Tim Walz and say, "Now, Governor, do you want to respond to those allegations?" And they'd give him a minute. Well, whenever it was J.D. Vance's opportunity to respond to something, the allegations that Tim Walz made against him or Trump, they would say, "Well, let me ask you this question." They would ask him a very specific question.
Yes.
And say, "You have
yes.
a minute."
Yeah.
So it was like he was then expected to address that separate question rather than being able to spend all the allocated time responding to whatever Tim Walz just said.
I'm not sure. I don't think Vance fell for it. I mean, they tried to bait him. He was calm. He was measured in his response to all of this stuff. I think that America saw last night the messaging scam that's been sold to them by the Democratic Party and the mainstream media, that J.D. Vance is some kind of weirdo. That's what they used to say about him. Could you not see how presidential he looked in that debate last night? He looked presidential in that debate. Imagine the other guy sitting in the Situation Room in control at some point, hemming and hawing and talking about riding his bike until it got dark at night, when the question was, why did you lie about being in China when the Tiananmen Square protest took place? Why did you lie about that?
That was one of the biggest moments I felt of the entire debate, because you saw how awkward Walz got, that he had been caught in yet another lie. And it was so funny that it was just the fact that Kamala always starts with, let me just say this, I was raised in a middle-class family.
He started with that, too.
I'm like, wow, you guys have clearly rehearsed this line together.
Yeah. You could tell that was a practiced response on the part of Walz last night. And one of the few times I'll give Margaret any credit at all, Margaret Brennan, she did follow up on that one question. There were lots of misses, I thought, on Vance's part, where he could have nailed Walz or nailed him down, like on the gun issue. He let Walz get away with some stuff. We're going to talk about this all morning. We've got all of the sound from that debate, in case you missed it. It was must-see TV. If you missed it, I'm sorry about that. But we do have a lot of the sound for you this morning. And I do still have my Twitter poll, and hundreds of people have voted on this so far. I put out the poll last night right after the debate ended, and it was pretty simple. Pretty simple question. Who won the debate? Was it Vance, or was it Walz and O'Donnell and Brennan? I mean, who won the debate? In our poll, and so far there have been 768 votes, 788 votes as of this hour. This is going to continue for about another 3 hours. So before the end of the show, this will have wrapped up. You still have a chance to vote. If you're on X, just go to @MarkCox971. That's Mark with a C, @MarkCox971, and register your vote. Share it. We'll have the results. Right now, it's pretty lopsided. And I don't know who these people were that voted in the CBS poll. Let's just put it that way. I don't even know who you are, but it's also affected the market. And we do have Taylor Riggs on a little later in place of Charles Payne this morning. And she can talk a little bit more about what's going on with the market, the war in Israel. We're trying to get you an update on that this morning. Obviously, that could throw a kink in everything if war breaks out in the Middle East. And you have to, I mean, at that point, the American people have to look at this and say, who do we want in charge in wartime? I mean, this vacant vessel that is Kamala Harris, the current vice president, we can't answer a question without reminding you that she grew up in a middle-class household, or J.D. Vance, who served in the U.S. military as a Marine, and Donald Trump, who's been commander-in-chief for 4 years when there were no wars because of his leadership. So there's a lot on the line here. A lot happened yesterday. Carl, let's go ahead and get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I didn't accuse Kamala Harris of inviting drug mules. I said that she enabled the Mexican drug cartels to operate freely in this country.
Which is true, very true. I was maybe the most amazed by how poorly Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan masked their contempt for the Republican candidate.
And look, I'm a hunter. I own firearms. The vice president is. We understand that the Second Amendment is there, but our first responsibility is to our kids to figure this out.
Your first responsibility is to the Constitution of the United States, that you take an oath to defend and uphold when you get sworn into office, Mr. Governor. And J.D. Vance missed a beautiful opportunity there to nail him down on exactly what kind of guns he and Vice President Harris own.
No one is in charge of our country, and it's not even clear Really, I mean, who's in charge between the two of them? You have a president, I guess. You have a vice president, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's so bad that if you get knocked unconscious when they're asking you questions, if you know where you are, they don't even ask you who the president is anymore because most people aren't even sure.
Now you start to realize who the longshoremen are, right?
Nobody cares.
People never gave a shit about us until now, when they finally realized that the chain is being broke now.
Yeah, that guy, the Harold Daggett, a name you've never heard until yesterday. Carl, I think that's the Vinny Testaroni character. You didn't know who we were until yesterday, but
guys,
you're going to know now. This guy owns a 78-foot yacht, makes almost $1 million a year as the head of this longshoremen's union, has been investigated for RICO charges, has had close associates who've been convicted in court on RICO charges. This is the stereotypical union boss who suddenly decided that in the middle of a presidential election, he's finally going to get his. He's finally going to show the American people that they've ignored the longshoremen for too long. And he did it by starting to rattle off all the different ways you're going to be impacted by what the longshoremen do. Is that cut number 13, Carl, or cut number 12?
I believe it's 12.
All right, let's go to 12 then, please.
First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are.
Everybody's hating the longshoremen, but now they're going to realize how important our jobs are.
He's not wrong. Like, I think people realize that that's an important job, but you don't realize how important it is and the impact that a strike like this can have.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I also agree that they've got their jobs because of the greatness of American consumers. And now what they're saying is we're going to stick it up your you-know-what because we don't think $200,000 a year in potential income is enough. That's what galls me about what he said. Yeah, you're right. People are starting to realize just how important you are, big guy. But you only have your job because we buy the goods that come through your port. Ah, that irritates me. All right, let's get to a quick break here. Carl, who's got the national anthem this morning?
Mark Cox, it's one of your favorite bands in the world. Kiss. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy birthday to Sting.
Gordon Sumner.
He's 73 today.
Is that his real name?
Yes.
What is it?
Gordon Sumner.
Okay, I did not know that. I mean, obviously I knew it wasn't Sting, but I didn't know what it actually was.
Yeah, he was among the first to start going by just one name, right? Bono, Sting.
Yeah. Cher was around.
Cher was there, yeah. Sonny and Cher. Wow, that's going back a little bit, isn't it? Wow. Coming up, we are going to talk a little bit more about what happened yesterday in Israel, because I just have to say, I think Iran is in for a shock this morning. I think what the discussion now is that Israel may consider a measured response after 200 rockets were fired by one sovereign nation into another one for no reason other than the fact that Israel blew up some of the terrorists that Iran funds. That's why they're mad. And if Israel was to allow them to get away with it, it would be horrible precedent-setting decision. And I think there will be a reaction. Hopefully it'll come today. And my guess is some of Iran's favorite things will not exist after today. They're going to quit calling it Hezbollah, and they're going to start calling it Wasbollah. But there are not going to be any of them left when this is all over with. And if Kamala Harris and Joe Biden do anything to stand in the way of that, the American people need to be paying attention to what's important here. We're going to start, if we start World War III, it's going to be because the U.S. is pressuring Israel not to defend itself. These are people that want to kill Jews. They're no better than the Nazis in World War II. Why would you not want them removed from the face of the earth? I don't get that. So we're going to cover that story for you coming up a little later. Up next, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
The biggest secret in the entertainment industry that really wasn't a secret at all has finally been revealed to the world. The wall of silence has now been broken, and victims are coming forward. Our team has had, at this point, more than 3,285 individuals contact us with people claiming to have been victimized by Sean Combs. After vetting, we now represent 120 individuals who intend to bring civil claims in civil court against Sean Diddy Combs, as well as claims against many other individuals and entities that we will name as defendants as we file these individual cases.
This is going to be big. 120 people who claim that Diddy sexually assaulted them, sexual misconduct allegations.
I think you can now just use the word diddled. Diddy just diddled.
Did he do it?
No, did he?
That's one of my favorites.
Them. And it's not a question of whether he did. He diddled.
You're just coming up with all kinds of words.
Sorry.
Before, what did you say? You said Wasbollah. I said during the commercial break. I said, was that a Mark Cox original?
It was. It's no longer Hezbollah. It's Wasbollah.
Fun. And you know what? I gave you props for that. I think that was pretty creative.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Now it's Well.
Oh, come on, Carl.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That one was.
Yes. So as far as the 120 people, okay, the breakdown they're saying is 60 males and 60 females. 25 of them were minors at the time, because these allegations cover a period from, I guess, well, pretty recently back to 1991.
Well, at least discrimination won't be part of the claim. He was an equal opportunity diddler.
Mark, is this what happens when you don't get a lot of sleep, or...
I'm mentally exhausted this morning. And
should we expect this for the next 3.5 hours?
I'll try to avoid it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I interrupted you.
You're okay. I'm so curious to see the other names that come out of this, because this is going to rock Hollywood, potentially rock the political careers of some politicians who may have been involved in this. They're saying in the next month, a lot of these lawsuits that they're, you know, going to allege against him could be filed, meaning that information should be public.
Meaning the attorneys get to start getting documents and records and all of that stuff and going through discovery. That's when the risk of suicide by Diddy hits its peak, even though he doesn't know it.
Well, he's already on suicide watch, so once this all starts to come out, can you imagine?
Well, and my guess is these are probably not... Well, I can't say that. I wonder how many of these are names you would recognize. Maybe I put it that way.
I bet you a lot.
You think?
I bet you a lot.
Wow.
When I say a lot, I mean, I bet you there's at least a dozen high-profile names that are going to be involved in this. And I don't think it's just going to be Hollywood actors. I think it's going to be potentially politicians. I think it's going to be people that... it's going to shock people. That's my guess.
People who claim that, among other things, Diddy, over the years, did things like give them horse tranquilizer to knock them out and then sexually assaulted them while they were out. Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, they were saying that he would spike drinks and the women would say they were basically unconscious. They didn't know what happened and they'd be sexually assaulted and, used horse tranquilizer, supposedly, with some people.
So he was... Like, was he a disciple of Bill Cosby, or do we know if the two of them knew each other?
You know, good question. I forget about Bill Cosby and all that stuff, too.
Because he used the date rape drug, didn't he, effectively? Some kind of tranquilizer.
Gosh.
Never take a drink from Bill Cosby.
Yeah, thank you. Bill's transgressions would have preceded Diddy's, even if they started as early as 1990 or 91. Bill been at this for a long time.
Yeah.
So maybe he got his inspiration from Bill Cosby, America's father, America's dad.
I remember watching the Cosby Show growing up, and you're just stunned when you see Bill Cosby then, you know, in the prison jumpsuit. And, I think it's the same thing for Diddy, because I'm not a huge fan, but he has been transformative for the music industry. You can't deny that. The guy has won a lot of awards and, you know, has been, celebrated for his talent and the changes that he has brought to the music industry. And now you find out this. And I wouldn't be surprised if more people come forward beyond the initial almost 3,300 people. And, you know, the 120 people, that's who the lawsuit, the attorneys decided to represent. But there certainly could be more people who either have not come forward or... The attorneys just didn't feel like there was enough to it where they could move forward, but that doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Embarrassment is a powerful motivator. For a lot of these people who aren't suing him, if the truth comes out, it could end or damage their careers that they were there when this all happened and they didn't say anything. Like, for example, we do know that in the early 90s, J-Lo dated P. Diddy for a while. There are now allegations by Suge Knight, the movie producer. It's out in print.
Record producer claiming
that he warned Ben Affleck, you better dump her because some crap's about to come down. And there's even an allegation that he gave Ben Affleck some tapes of P. Diddy and J-Lo surrounding the time when, I guess, Tupac or the other rapper got shot dead and alleged that
Biggie Smalls
that she knew how that all went down. I don't know, but that's what Suge Knight is claiming now, that's why Ben Affleck dumped Jennifer Lopez.
Why they recently got divorced.
She was part of this circle when a lot of this stuff would have happened.
So she would have known about the potential, or maybe witnessed some of the sexual assaults.
How would she not known? Unless she argues that she was tranquilized, too. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing, Mark. It's not even just, okay, maybe this person actually participated in some alleged assault, but kind of like what you said, how many more people are going to be accused of being there at a party or an event where you saw it happening, you knew it was happening, and you did nothing? Now, I don't know if anything would come of that, but that's still going to be a major hit for a lot of these people, their careers. But you think about, like, during the commercial break, Carl and I were kind of naming off some of these celebrities who have had these crazy allegations. I know you guys mentioned Bill Cosby, but you think about R. Kelly. You think about
Chris Brown.
And, for a little while, maybe it hurts their career. And in many cases, somehow they're able to bounce back.
Yeah.
Now, I believe in forgiveness. Like, don't get me wrong. Now, this situation with Diddy just sounds awful. Like, 120 people.
And that's just the ones that the lawyers are representing.
Yeah, those are just the ones that have been filtered by the attorneys as believing they have a good case.
Right, more people
so
could come
forward.
So there
must be some evidence of it. It's not just he said, she said. In this case, that's a lot of he's and a lot of she's. 60 each?
60 each, and Ooh. 25 of them minors at the time. Like a 9-year-old.
And the question of these people is going to be, what did you know, and when did you know it?
Oh, hey, everybody know ain't no party like a Diddy party, so.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, LeBron James. What did you know?
LeBron James.
And when did you know it?
LeBron James.
Yeah. All of these, well, a lot of NBA players.
Oh,
a lot of athletes, a lot of actors and actresses went to the big P. Diddy parties where they all wore white. And then God knows what happened.
I heard they'd go to these parties and naked women would just be walking around. I mean, the things that happened at these parties, I can't even, and really, quite frankly, don't want to imagine because this stuff is probably going to start coming out, and I think we're all going to be shocked, and people are going to be running to hide because their names are going to be exposed.
There'll be a lot of denial. A lot of attorneys are going to make a lot of money in the next 12 months.
Yep.
I wonder why. Now, when you tell me somebody's on suicide watch, that means you're watching them so they don't commit suicide. Why would you not just isolate him in a cell where that would never be a possibility? Like, I know that that's technically the idea of suicide watch, but clearly Epstein's camera miraculously stopped working in the moment that he found a bed sheet long enough to hang himself with. Why would you not just put him in a place where that couldn't happen?
I was going to say, you'd almost have to not have a blanket, not have a sheet, some straw. I mean, I don't know what you would do to prevent that, but... Yeah, I thought that was the whole idea, is you're in an isolated cell and they're watching you around the clock and they make sure there's nothing, like you're not going to have a pen to journal or whatever, because that, of course, could be used as a weapon.
Ghislaine Maxwell and P. Diddy, I both have big insurance policies, I'm sure, because they know it all. They know, they got the dirt on everybody, those two do, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about what I think was probably the biggest miss last night on the part of J.D. Vance. I think he slayed it in this, to borrow my teenager's term. But I think that he had a couple of big opportunities that he missed. He took a swing and he missed. And we're going to get to some of that when we come back. Stay tuned.
This idea of stigmatizing mental health, just because you have a mental health issue doesn't mean you're violent. And I think what we end up doing is we start looking for a scapegoat. Sometimes it just is the guns. It's just the guns.
This was a point in the debate last night where I think J.D. Vance fell down on the job. He could have been so much stronger on that. You've got this idiot, Waltz, who admits he used to carry a shotgun around the back of his car so he could go pheasant hunting after football practice when he was a kid. And it's not like that anymore. Well, of course it's like that anymore, Tim Waltz. Because the shotgun in the back of your car that you carried around when you went pheasant hunting, I'll guarantee you, never once jumped out of the car on its own and shot another human being. It's never the guns, Tim Waltz. It is often criminality, and it's more often than that, mental health problems that lead to criminals committing the acts that they commit. The left in this country is in complete denial. J.D. Vance had a golden opportunity to make that point last night. Now, what I can't remember is what happened next. I've edited that bite. It may have been a case where the moderators cut him off and moved on to another subject. But I really wish Vance would have nailed him on that. Tell me what kind of gun you own. And by the way, because nobody's ever answered this, exactly what kind of gun is it that Kamala Harris owns that she's going to shoot somebody with when they try to get past the Secret Service into the Naval Observatory where she lives in Washington, that she's going to shoot them with? What gun is that? Because that's the claim she made during a podcast recently. Well, if somebody breaks into my house, I'm going to shoot them. Well, your house is the Naval Observatory because you're the Vice President of the United States. The other one, and I tweeted out about this immediately, Kim, I know you probably saw it, and so did a lot of other people, was this stupid comment.
I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
I've become friends with school shooters.
Did he mean to say that school shooter victims? Where was he going with that? Because certainly he did not mean to say that, right?
I'm guessing he meant school shooting victims,
right? Their families.
I become friends with them, and they said it was the gun. It wasn't the deranged, crazed person who came into the school and opened fire with the inanimate object. It had to be the gun itself. I own a scary black rifle. And because I don't live in the state of Illinois, I can announce that on the radio freely. And because here we can still exercise our Second Amendment rights, unlike my friends who live in Illinois. I feel sorry for them. And the Supreme Court needs to rectify that. But one thing I can say for certain is that I bought my gun brand new out of the box. And other than I can probably say a rabbit and maybe a coyote, to the best of my knowledge, my AR has never harmed anything drawing breath that might not otherwise be considered a varmint. It can't. It's locked in a safe or it's in my hands. And since I'm not a criminal committing criminal acts, it's not about the gun. These people are blinded by their hatred of this issue, their hatred of your Second Amendment rights, just like John Kerry is blinded by his hatred of the First Amendment. I still can't get past that. There were so many questions they didn't bring up last night. What is with these moderators, Kim, that the second, I understand the first question. The second question last night was about climate change. They had to lead the question about the response to the hurricane with climate change. It must have been caused by climate change. Just because this hasn't happened in a generation or 100 years or whatever, just because we have no record of this happening in recent memory, it must be the result of climate change. Well, no, it was a storm that formed in warm waters in the Gulf that came ashore and carried all of that rain and wind with it, and it caused destruction along its path.
I get why they brought that up as a question, because sadly a lot of people in this country want to attribute things happening like Hurricane Helene to climate change. So I think it was a fair topic, but the way they phrased the questions was ridiculous. But what stood out to me the most was the CBS moderator saying, we're not going to fact check. It's up to the candidates to fact check one another. And then Nora O'Donnell had the audacity to make that one final comment saying, well, scientists say that.
It is climate change.
Get out of here, Nora. You just lied. You just said you weren't going to fact check. And guess what? Just like we saw with the debate with Trump and Kamala, who would guess they would only fact check J.D. Vance? Because Walz lied plenty of times, including about that abortion bill in his home state of Minnesota.
Yes, and the lady who died.
Amber Thurman.
Thurman, who died of an abortion after
taking the pill.
The abortion pill with a warning label right on the side of it that it can lead to sepsis. That's why she died, not because her state didn't allow abortion. It was a lie that nobody there fact-checked last night, including J.D. Vance. He should have called him out on that. Anyway, we'll get to much more on this for you coming up. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.